Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at the Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in the home of the 6A state champions, the Grenada Chargers. Congrats to Grenada and our good friend, Coach Michael Fair.
Shout out to Michael Fair. Shout out to my buddy, Justin Flake.
That's right.
Baseball coach over there doing great things.
Yeah.
Paul Jones, he doesn't get credit for that. He's a Kirk Academy guy. He gets no credit.
Hey, man, I'm from Grenada.
Yeah.
No, Michael Fair is a great coach. And
we
they've
had him
been
on the radio a couple weeks ago for the Egg Bowl, and I told him, you know, he was getting ready to play Warren Central, and I was like, Coach, I'll just let you know, growing up in Vicksburg, I never cheered for Warren Central, so it's all you.
He was a state champion at Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Grenada's always been kind of a sleeping giant in some regards.
Like, they're waiting out.
The NFL guys they've had there.
Yeah.
And Michael Fair's kind of realizing it, and so shout out to them. And for the people that love Brupolo, shout out to the Tupelo Golden Wave.
Great. All the state champs this week. So
if you're rolling through to West Point, who's also a state champion.
Let me see if I can get them all because I make sure I got them all here. So 1A, Baldwin, right?
Yes. The Baldwin Bearcats.
All right. 2A, is that Heidelberg?
Heidelberg.
All right. 3A is
the Choctaw County Chargers.
Choctaw County. Yeah, the big game there.
Yes.
Between those two studs, Cunningham and Taylor.
Ackerman, Mississippi, where Mississippi stand up.
There you go. 4A is Poplarville.
Yep.
All right. Big upset.
The Hornets.
Big upset there.
They've been close. They were.
Yeah, but you think when Louisville gets there.
Yeah, but that has been a bad matchup for Louisville. They lost the first. Poplarville lost the first two matchups against them by a combined 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
And Louisville just did not play clean. Poplarville outplayed them.
All right.
Played good football.
5A. Point City, West Point, 13 state championships. Shout out to Brandon Walker.
They are in first place by themselves now.
Coach Brett Morgan joins his father. I wonder how many father sons have state championships. I don't know the answer to that. I'm sure it's a good number, but
Dylan Mitchell just joined the crew.
Yeah, his dad. But yeah, so shout out to West Point, and then of course, as we mentioned, Grenada and Tupelo. With Tupelo versus Brandon, I made the comments. Like, it's like if the Bills played the Vikings in the Super Bowl, somebody's finally got to get one.
Yeah, Sam Williams is on the clock. He's the next man up.
Brandon is the next program that's going to win a state championship.
And they have some really good young talent, too.
But a great weekend of high school football that Robbie got the pleasure to cover. And, of course, I want to thank our friends over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Don't know how that turned into a high school recap, but
I'm here for it. I'm always here
for it. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. We're getting close to Christmas. Christmas is a beef holiday. A prime rib, a whole tenderloin, a beef Wellington. Those are the meats that you want to cook on Christmas Day. That's the best of the best holiday of the year. Make it the best meal of the year with beef. And hey, you can't do it on Christmas Day, but any other day of the year when you want to have a great steak in the state of Mississippi, it is not too far away. Just get in the car and find one of our great steakhouses all around. Here in the city of Starkville, I can give you three or four places to go grab a great steak. And I mean, Starkville is not the biggest town in the world. What are we talking about when we get down to the coast and Hattiesburg and Jackson and Tupelo? So many great places. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. I hope you took advantage of the 2-for-1 gift card sale that they were running this weekend. If you didn't, I'm gonna try to convince our friends down there they need to do it one more time. We need to have one more go round with the buy one get one on the gift cards because they make the holidays easy. But if you did buy it, or even if you didn't, College Corner and collegecornerstore.com is the place to do your holiday shopping. When we're talking about you want to get stuff for the Mississippi State Bulldog in your life. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant. Tell me today. What day are we going?
We need to make sure they're open because remember last time we tried to go.
We had some issues. I will handle all of that for us.
Okay.
But what day do you want to go? You want to do Thursday this week?
Well, I got to cover basketball game on Thursday.
Women's game?
No, I got high school game.
Okay. Wednesday is no good. So Friday.
What about Friday?
We can do Friday.
We'll make that happen.
All right.
I think we can do that.
I'm gonna double check, make sure we're good to go. We should be because I think last time they were doing some renovation.
Friday night they should be open.
They should be open.
Hey, what about trying the guest room?
I mean, we can go down there and have a beverage as well if you want.
It might be packed, but we can check it out.
They should be doing Miracle Under Main right now too. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's usually slammed down there, but we'll figure it out. Maybe we can get a reservation because
we know some people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would think.
You get to be in control of all this good stuff.
Okay.
All right. But you can be a winner yourself. Just make a reservation or head on over to Restaurant Tyler for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. You're guaranteed one thing, the best meal in town when you eat at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations ready to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you not only where they're located, but show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers, you go to Priority One Bank. They give you a level of service you can't get at those big corporate banks. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Last week, with the diseases and everything, it just threw it completely off. So we're back on schedule this week.
The diseases.
So we do have one program, you know, and Robbie doesn't know.
Brian had scurvy.
Somebody get me a lemon. When you have scurvy, it's lack of vitamin C. So that's what pirates would eat. They would take citrus fruit and eat it because they could avoid scurvy.
I was not ready for that.
Father, can I have a cookie? I haven't had the scurvy today.
Somebody get me a lemon.
Lemons, limes, oranges. I buy a lemon basically every day I go to the grocery store.
You're a big lemon guy.
Well, I make vegetables, and if you squeeze a little lemon over vegetables, it makes them a little more palatable.
Yeah.
So, quick programming note. Wednesday of this week, I am not available. So, no pod on Thursday of this week.
Well, what's going on?
I got to take my mom to cataract surgery, and then directly from there, I got to go to Tupelo for a remote. So, I don't have time.
Brian has hit the stage in life where he is chauffeur for his mom.
Let me tell you.
I know that's coming for me. I had to do it some with my grandmother.
Yeah.
But I hadn't fully.
This is what gets me with my mom right now is, like, I'll tell her, like, I'm not going to be able to do this, but Jennifer can do it. Or Aislinn will come do it. Why can't you do it? She wants me to do literally everything. I'm just like, Mom, I have three other able-bodied people in the home.
It's not the same. Not the same.
So, anyway, Wednesday is no good. So, no Thursday pot.
Okay.
All right. The question of the day to me, we'll recap basketball a little later in the show. We'll talk about the decision or the lack of a decision, I guess I should say, on the defensive front here at Mississippi State, both literally and figuratively when I say defensive front. But to me, the big question of the weekend is this, and ever since he popped into the transfer portal, this has been a name that's been circling. Obviously, the connections are there. Does Mississippi State want to get involved in the Jackson Arnold sweepstakes? Now, for those of you who aren't big college football guys, Jackson Arnold was the quarterback at Oklahoma this past year. He was the hand-picked quarterback from Jeff Lebby two seasons ago. He was the heir apparent to Dillon Gabriel. He was the guy that they wanted to have be the next great Oklahoma quarterback. Five-star quarterback out of high school, the number 10 overall player in the country. Regardless of position, when he signed with the Sooners, huge expectations. But Lebby leaves, and their entire offensive line from a season ago transferred out. And then during the season itself, I think the stat is his top five receivers never played a full game together,
yeah,
or something like that. Just beset with injuries. He had an average season at best this past year. But the tools and the talent and the ceiling are evident with this young man. Then you have Michael Van Buren, who I thought was a true freshman, was outstanding. You know, he showed you a lot of potential. Arnold is Lebby's handpicked guy. This was the guy that, had he remained at Oklahoma,
it was Oklahoma's pay-and-pick guy.
He was going to build around this kid, and he was going to be the next guy in that Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts lineage of Heisman Trophy front-runner quarterbacks. Now he's in the transfer portal, and he has been linked to Mississippi State. Robbie, just 1,000 miles above, if you're Jeff Lebby, do you make the call and try to bring Jackson Arnold to Mississippi State?
If you believe that this guy betters your roster 100%, this has been the conversation over the last week or so about this. And a lot of people are of the opinion of, you know, you don't do something to upset Michael Van Buren. And my opinion is, when it comes to Michael Van Buren, is, you know, if you believe, you know, that this kid is, the people that have this opinion, if you believe that this kid is that special, then he should have the drive to want to be able to win that battle. Mm-hmm. But to me, you got to bring in somebody, if depending on whether or not you keep Blake Shapen, I guess. Mm-hmm. You got to bring in somebody to push Michael Van Buren at the very least. And for Jeff Lebby, too, like, if you feel like this is a guy that's going to take you to a different level, if you feel like he's better than Michael Van Buren, or if you're just trying to upgrade this roster, then, yeah, you go after him. And I think the general thought process going into this is, I don't think you're, you know, being realistic, I don't think you're going to be able to keep and have both of them.
Right.
I think if you get Jackson Arnold, you're probably not going to have Michael Van Buren. But at that point, you know, this is a guy that Jeff Lebby recruited just like Michael Van Buren and was, you know, for all intents and purposes, this guy was basically who Oklahoma fans and, you know, maybe even administration, coaches, whatever, said was their guy over Dylan Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
That's the crazy thing about it is you remember the conversation last year when Dylan Gabriel entered the portal was they were pushing him out for Jackson Arnold. I don't know how much truth there is to that, but that's certainly what their fans were saying, that it was Jackson Arnold's time. Dylan Gabriel, thank you for what you've done, but it's time for, you know, the prodigy to come in here. And you look at the numbers, you look at all that stuff, and I get people's concern on him, but I think there's a lot of context that has to come into play when you talk about Jackson Arnold and the season that he had this year for Oklahoma. And the numbers, really, at the end of the day, were not awful. But you look at what happened with him this year, and you've got Seth Luttrell running the offense, which I think was not a good offense for Jackson Arnold for many quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Wide receivers galore out with injuries. Offensive line was not good. And you have a change in leadership on the offensive side of the ball in the middle of the season with Seth Luttrell. They quit on Jackson Arnold too early, I feel like. And eventually he got back into the mix and actually, I thought, played well at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they played well against Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the year, you know, he had really improved. So, to me, I'm looking at it from a perspective of what's going to make your roster better. If you feel like Jackson Arnold makes your roster better, he's a guy that can move the needle a little more for this offense under Jeff Lebby, absolutely you take him. And a lot of people have kind of made this a either or. If you get Jackson Arnold, you can't have a defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how this works.
No, that's not how it works at all.
Mississippi State they have enough money to go get, you know, in any position. I'm not saying they can get anybody they want, but they can recruit any and every position. That they've got money in the pot to do that. And that's what the whole purpose of this next week is, and, you know, I guess next month is going to be, is trying to make this roster competitive in the SEC across the board. And that starts at the quarterback position. And I certainly think if you do get Jackson Arnold, it ups your profile a little bit, because even with the season he had, he still is a name in college football. He's still a big name.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he could draw some offensive talent to Mississippi State and obviously keep some guys too that you want. You know, maybe he locks in some guys like Kevin Coleman and Mario Craver and guys like that to help Mississippi State out. So it's certainly an interesting conversation, and you know, we'll see what comes from it. But you definitely want to make sure that you're in the best position to compete in this league, no matter what position it is.
You said it right there that it doesn't matter what position it is. If you feel like you can upgrade, you do it. You know, and I felt like this was a problem a couple of years ago that Mississippi State fans ran into with Will Rogers. You know, we were on this podcast saying, hey, State should probably go out in the portal and try to get a guy to compete with Will Rogers. And there were too many State fans who were just like, why would someone do that? And why
Don't
would,
run him off.
you know, you run him off? I mean, if you feel like you can get a better guy at any position, I mean, you know, I love Kevin Coleman. But if Luther Burden said, hey, never mind the draft, I want to go to Mississippi State, you bring Luther Burden in and on down the line.
It goes back to like the whole conversation that we've had many times, and this started years ago. Don't get attached to players.
Right.
Do not
It's about the
lock in with
team.
somebody.
Right.
Like, I think a lot of people just get so attached in recruiting, and when guys are on their team, these players, there's really very little loyalty in college sports anymore. And that's from a coach's perspective, players, fans, whatever. You can't get yourself locked in with these players and getting your feels. Because at the end of the day, these are basically, you know, players for hire. I mean, that's just how it is anymore. We talked about the lack of importance on senior day. Like, it's just not there anymore because these guys are, you know, 1 year rentals at this point. It is what it is. They're getting paid to do a service for your school. And there's just not very many that are going to stick it out much anymore. So don't get attached to them. You want to get the best players year to year that can help your team win.
Arnold is an interesting one. Now, I think with Arnold, the key to it is going to be, I feel like if he even visits, that's going to be a sign where Van Buren probably just goes ahead and says, I got to get out. So you've got to have him,
You got to lock him in.
you got to lock him in. He's got to come to Starkville to commit. He's not coming to visit, he's coming to commit. He's coming to find a place to live.
And that is the thing. I mean, like,
That's a risk.
that is like the risk part of it is on that. The risk
Right.
part of it isn't he comes in here and runs Van Buren off. It's he visits and runs Van Buren off.
Right.
You need to have your ducks in a row, so to speak. So that, I mean, it's a very delicate situation, and I know State has been negotiating with Michael Van Buren, so I don't think it's a done deal by any means when it comes to State's quarterback position. I don't think there's anything that is known for sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that are going to have to happen, and I think probably going to happen pretty quickly. I think we will know pretty quickly this week what
Yeah.
Jackson Arnold's doing.
Because you need to go ahead and get your quarterback
Yeah.
sorted out.
And this is a guy you want to get on board
Because he can
quick.
bring other guys in, I think.
Yep.
Speaking of bringing other guys in, you had the story on Saturday that former Alabama and Miami defensive tackle Jamil Burrows is going to be part of this transfer class. Now, a little unique situation here from what I'm reading, in that he is going. It's almost like a veteran tryout in the NFL, where you see somebody come in, they go through camp, and you see if they can find a spot for them or not. That's the sort of the situation here. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those deals where State's given him a chance to come in here and try to prove himself and help Mississippi State up front. I think a lot of people would jump to a conclusion early when he committed that this was, you know, one of the guys that State is going after. They're going to have to really rely on,
Yeah.
and they might have to rely on him down the stretch. But it's not, you know, this is just a no risk situation for State. They're taking a kid that was fairly highly rated coming out of high school, four-star prospect. I think he committed to Georgia at one point, went to Alabama, played there for 3 years. When he was in the game, was pretty impactful. You know, a guy that could get pressure, get in the backfield. He's certainly more talented than, you know, a lot of players that State had on their defensive line this last year. So he's going to have a chance to come in here. Hadn't played in 2 years. So that's a concern, obviously, but again, there's no risk for State to take a guy like this. you know, all the risk is on Burroughs coming in and trying to win a spot and trying to get in the two deep and help Mississippi State. But you're taking a guy that has been in this league, that's played in it, that was recruited by just about everybody in the country coming out of high school, and he has the skill set. You know, he's a guy that's really gifted at that size. So I can't be upset about this at all. Now, if they get through this month and they don't have any difference makers.
Yeah, if he's the only guy they've gotten on the defensive line to go with Mason Clinton and Jamarcus Moy, then we have an issue.
Yeah. So that's the thing that you should be concerned about is whether or not State is adding guys. And from what I'm told, they're trying to set up some visits with some guys, hopefully this week, you know, three or four guys that they're after, and we'll see how that transpires. But they have got to get some difference makers out of the portal on the defensive line, or it's going to be another long season.
They're confident, though, over there. Some people we've talked to have said that they believe they're going to do well in the transfer portal.
They are. They're very confident. But, you know, it's kind of like prove it mode, you know, that, and we haven't seen anything yet on the defensive line, which is just, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I really don't understand it. You look at the other positions, you know, linebacker. You get Tyler Lockhart in this class, and you got another four-star in Tyshawn Willis, who probably going to play the edge, could grow into a defensive end. We'll see. I don't know if he's got I don't know if he's going to have the size for that. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, you got two four-stars there at linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've already gotten a guy out of the transfer portal at cornerback that I think he can help you. You definitely need to add more guys. And then safety, you picked up Tony Mitchell. You essentially picked up a recruit in Stonka Burnside, who's going to move to the defensive side of the ball, I fully expect. So every position has shown signs of life, but the defensive line. And that's the big what if, you know, like I don't know what's going to happen there. We haven't seen any kind of like I said, signs of life there. They didn't land any difference makers out of the high school or junior college class. Back-to-back classes where they just didn't get a lot done there. And this has got to be the biggest area of improvement this year in the transfer portal. State has got to, if whatever they got to do, they got to get guys in here that can positively impact the ball game by getting pressure, by being able to defend the run, by being some kind of threat up front, because it's affecting the entire defense. So if they got to overspend for a difference maker, so be it. That's what the money's for. And that's why all these donations have been coming in, because people are tired of it and they're ready to see a change.
And, of course, that leads into, you know, maybe one of the reasons we feel like they're not being as successful in the recruiting front, and that is Mississippi State has obviously made the decision to stick with the staff. They're not going to make any changes. I know there's been some talk about, well, David Turner's contract ends at the end of the year. And
yeah, we'll see.
But I can't imagine they would let him work and recruit and not bring in another defensive line coach. I mean, are you telling me that this guy's just such a lights-out recruiter that you just want him to work for a month and then go? That doesn't make a lick of sense whatsoever. He's here. I can't see a path where he works for the next month, brings in guys from the transfer portal, and then walks away from that. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I'm not sold on that just yet. I'm not sold on him leaving.
Yeah, I'm not
either
at all.
It just feels like this is a run it back.
Yeah.
And if it is, that they better hit. That's all I got to say. Because if you do this again next year, then Jeff Lebby's going to be looking back on this idea that he had to keep the staff together. Mm-hmm. He's going to be looking back and saying, I blew it. Because if you let that keep you from getting a third year or having success here, then it's your own fault at that point. Because it's very possible that we're all wrong and it is a talent issue for State and they've been coaching well and the talent's just not very good, and they get better talent and they improve. That's possible. You know, like I've always said, like, these coaches are way smarter than us as far as the scheme, and, you know, they see a lot of things that we don't see on a day-to-day basis. And he is, Jeff Lebby, I need to use my pronouns more, I guess. Not use my pronouns, I need to use my names more.
Yeah.
Jeff Lebby has decided that he needs continuity and he needs talent acquisition and players retained more than he needs change on that side of the ball and on his staff as a whole. They are going all in on keeping their staff together. So, with that said, you better go out and land some difference makers, because if you don't, you really got a problem next year.
If we, at the end of this month, don't see a dramatic influx of talent via the transfer portal, I mean, it's going to be DEFCON 5 here in Starkville.
Because people are already
lose their mind. They're already ready to do it. Yeah.
They're already mad, man. And, like, this is what people have been waiting on. They were waiting for it. It turned out first, why is it Coleman Hutzler fired, after the Arkansas game or whenever it was, where everybody, they had gotten really, really loud.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, it's just going to be the end of the year.
End of the year.
So, all right, end of the Egg Bowl, better happen today. No, well, now it's probably going to be after signing day.
Right.
After signing day
Which
comes.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Nope. Not making a change. So now it's turning into, well, it's going to be in January. I think we're kicking the can down the road here, and I'm kind of at the point where I kind of feel like this is going to be, run it back central.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's something that fans have to come to grips with at this point. If it's not going to happen, then you have to say to yourself, it's not going to happen. You better go out there and get some talent, or we're talking in the middle of the season about a coaching change on the defensive side of the ball, and then saying, why didn't you do this, after the year?
We talked about this a lot, and you were pretty steady with the thought that you did not think they would make a change. And I understand that you're not surprised that they didn't make a change, but at the same time, and this makes sense, I hope, are you surprised that they didn't make a change?
No, I'm not. I mean, there was a time where I think it was right before the Egg Bowl, we had heard some rumblings that mm-hmm. there was a chance they could make a change. We reported that there was some rumblings, but the only thing I knew is that if there was a change, it would be after signing day. And like I said, I didn't agree with that. I didn't think it made much sense, but their reasoning was given to me that there would, they just wanted to focus on that first, and then they'd have their meetings and make changes.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never really bought that there's going to be a change. I've felt from the beginning, since the beginning of the year,
mm-hmm.
that Jeff Lebby wanted and valued continuity mm-hmm. more than anything. And agree with it, disagree with it, he is locked in on it. I don't – if there is a change, I think it's possible in the defensive line, but – I just don't know if it's going to happen at this point. And I haven't been fully committed to that thought process either. I think that I've just felt like this is what Jeff Lebby wants.
Yeah.
And it's one of those deals where it is, for better or worse, you're tied to that decision now. And we will see if Lebby is a genius and he just needed to have that continuity, or if this is the dumbest decision we've seen by Mississippi State coach in a while.
I mean,
we won't know until the end of next year, probably.
I love a good redemption story. We'll see if it happens. And here's the thing. If he goes out and they go out in this transfer portal class and they get big-time talent and they bring in a bunch of guys, that gives us the story that we can talk about for the next 8 months of, okay, they brought in the talent, so now we're really going to know. And I'll be honest with you, we're going to know game one.
And if they do bring in talent, I'm one of those people I'm all in on Jimmy's and Joe's. I think that is the most
a long way.
I think that is the most important thing when it comes to winning ball games, is the team that has the best players mm-hmm. most of the time wins the ball games.
Yeah.
And if Mississippi State upgrades this talent, I promise you that Coleman Hutzler will look like a much smarter man and a much better defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have that talent, all of your weaknesses are magnified.
Yeah.
If you can't hide that. And your state's had defensive coordinators that were, completely meh. And the talent that they had on the field bailed them out. State doesn't have those players right now, and it makes every decision that Coleman Hutzler and his defensive staff put on the field, it makes that even more magnified. The most important thing they have to do is not coaching changes or finding a new coach, whatever. It's getting better on that roster, and that's what's important this offseason. And if they can just show, if they can show a pretty good, you know, jump from this year to next, if they're, you know, top 80, then that's a move in the right direction. Then you can build on that. Look at them, just like Justin Parker.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even not even jump as high as Justin Parker did, but look at State's.
That's not a fair comparison because that went to.
But look at Justin Parker, the impact he had. If you look at the recruits that are landing right now in high school,
yeah.
The impact from last season is being felt very quickly.
Yeah.
If State can somehow get some talent in here that makes this defense more competitive up front, I promise you, Coleman Hutzler, the thoughts on him will start to drastically change.
You go back,
I'm not saying he's going to be a great defense coordinator, but that defense won't look like it did this year. Yeah.
You go back a year ago in the first game against Eastern Kentucky, and we talked about it after the game. We're like, and defensively, you know, Eastern Kentucky was able to run the ball kind of effectively. And
you can see it.
You know, this first game against USM, you know, with Charles Huff coming in there, he's a good offensive coach. He's probably going to bring some players from Marshall that just won the Sun Belt down to Hattiesburg. If they're able to move the football in Mississippi State and get points on the board, you're going to know pretty quick if this is a boom or bust.
Yeah.
So, you know, we won't have to wait around. We won't have to wait around to find out at all. With this defense. So, all right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by good folks over at Pip Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. You are a business owner. I'm doing my Hubie Brown here. I'm going to speak in the second person.
Please do. Right.
You are a business owner. You have a message you want to get out to your customers. How do you get that message out? You call Pip Printing and Signs. Pip Printing and Signs, 30-plus years of experience dealing with businesses just like yours. They know how to get the message to your customers. They know how to get the customers in the door. They know how to keep them coming in the door. When you are a business owner, that is what you want to hear. You want to hear, hey, we can get your business going. We can get people into the front door. That's all a business owner wants to hear, especially during the holidays. So call Cam Baker today. Talk to him and say, hey, heard about you on Thunder and Lightning. What can you do for my business? He'll sit down. He'll put together a plan. And he will put you on the path to success. 601-499-5216. Talk to Cam. That's his number directly. Now, I've mentioned this a few times. That's how dedicated he is to service. He didn't give me the number. He's not giving out the number to the office, to his assistant, to a, you know, a call center. That's his personal cell phone number. You're going to talk to him directly. That's the kind of level of commitment you're getting here with Pip Printing and Signs. When you need printing, call Pip today. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. I know you're looking for it. This holiday season, by the way, you talk to Two Brothers about catering a holiday meal for you. They have got some great, you know, pre-cooked stuff. You can get some turkey, some hams over there. Outstanding stuff from them. But if you just want to eat a great meal, make it easier on yourself and head to the Cotton District for smoked Southern soul food or for a fancy sandwich over at the Older Brother, Starkville's best new restaurant. The home of the best French fries in the city of Starkville. That's right. If you are a French fry person, if you're a friesman, and you need to go out and get some great French fries, the place to do it is the Older Brother. They have the best in town. Two great restaurants right there in the Cotton District, Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years. 50 years. If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And if you need service, you can just call them right back. You can talk to the same people. You can talk to the people who made the sale with you that you already have that relationship with. Not a 1-800 number with people you don't know, people who aren't, you know, even near you. This is a Mississippi business. You're a Mississippi business. It just makes sense to deal with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192. Or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to any game in Starkville, make sure a trip to Maroon & Co. is on your to-do list. If you're in Starkville and you need Mississippi State gear, Maroon & Co. is the place to get it. A bigger and better selection than everybody else in the city of Starkville. They are the official providers for the Bulldog Initiative. You can't get that gear anywhere else. along with a lot of other unique items that you just can't find anywhere else. Everybody else kind of has the same gear, not Maroon & Co. They've got cool stuff you cannot find at any other Mississippi State store. But check them out. Website, maroonandco.com. Use our promo code, THUNDER15, to save 15% off your order. Regular price, some exclusions do apply. That's available online or in-store. Head to Maroon & Co. before you go to any game at Mississippi State. I was at a game at Mississippi State this Sunday, and I watched Mississippi State take on Prairie View A&M, a team that came into this day ranked number 348 in the net rankings. Now, last week, Robbie and I maybe put a little bit of the kiss of death on this game. We talked about how it was basically a year to the day since Mississippi State had played Southern and lost that game in Starkville, and how, you know, what a crushing loss that was. And, buddy, if this one didn't start off the exact same way, I don't know what to tell you. State was down 15 points in the first half, couldn't make a shot, couldn't get a rebound, and this terrible Prairie View team was just running roughshod over Mississippi State. State went on a run, had the game tied at the half. Incredible, Robbie. They gave up 57 points to Pitt on Wednesday, the number 18 team in the country. They gave up 44 points to one of the worst teams in America in a half of basketball. But they do enough to get the win, 91-84. Was it ugly? Was it not what Coach Jans wanted? Was it not what anybody predicted? Absolutely. I think State was a 40-point favorite in this game, so they didn't cover in this one. I've never seen somebody foul out as quickly as Prairie View center Ryan Bolton. Only played a total of 12 minutes, but fouled out. That's pretty efficient. His stat line for the game, 1 point, 2 boards, 1 assist, 5 fouls. Also, their backup center, Marcel Bryant, also fouled out with 2 technicals. So he's out too. They had 3 guys with double digits. One guy had 21, one guy had 20, one guy had 19. Nobody else had more than 9. State was far more balanced. They had 5 guys in double digits, led by Josh Hubbard with 25. Claudel Harris, you mentioned the other day talking about him maybe being, you know, sort of a Trey Ford. He had that first great game, and then it's sort of fallen off. These last 2 games, he's been really good for Mississippi State with Kanye Clary on the bench. The story of this game was Cam Hubbard. I'm sorry, Cam Matthews. Was wearing a boot, did not look like he was going to play. State falls behind at the 12-minute timeout, and Chris Jans tells him go get loose.
Yeah,
and he has to come into the game. Sort of, I tweeted out, he went into the phone booth and put on the uniform. Came out, played 22 minutes, gave State 6 points, 7 boards, 6 assists, but more importantly, gave them some leadership and some physicality that they needed. Against this Prairie View team. Prairie View, very good offensive team. They shot 56% in this game. On the season, they only shoot 31% from three, but they shot 53% today. They were 10 for 19. Defensively, though, they're just a train wreck. It was ugly. It was bad. But at the end of the day, a year ago, you lost this game. This time, you won it. And we'll look back in a few months, and all we'll remember is that it was a quad four win, one way or the other. So State escaping was a good thing. Get into finals week, get a week to rest, to relax, to get back into game spirits, and go to Tupelo on Saturday for a game against McNeese. You know, not a good McNeese team this year so far, but I feel like that team by the end of the season with Will Wade coaching, they will be better.
Yeah. This game was...
It was ugly, buddy.
You know, like, and it's certainly like it doesn't help Mississippi State from a metric standpoint.
Right,
because
it hurts.
Yeah, but, like, it was always going to take a hit.
Yeah.
It took a little bit more of a hit because of the fact that you didn't win by 10 points or whatever, but I feel like people are kind of freaking out about this game a little prematurely. Like, I definitely think it didn't help you, but, I mean, we got people saying they're going to fall a seed in the NCAA tournament and things like that. Like, guys, just calm down.
Yeah.
It's okay. And that's the thing about basketball is, like, you see these games from week to week. Memphis lost on Sunday to Arkansas State. We've seen bad losses for teams that are inside the top 25, that are, you know, teams that are NCAA tournament teams. They happen. This Mississippi State team had one of the worst non-conference losses in years last year to Southern.
Mm-hmm.
And that cost Mississippi State a seed line.
No question. At least one.
Winning this game is not going to cost Mississippi State a seed.
No.
You know, it like I said, hurts your metrics for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the part of the schedule where your metrics are fluctuating. They're going up and down by the game. Who's to say State don't come out against McNeese State and win big and those metrics jump again? Or
and State, I'm looking at the net right now. They did take a tumble.
Yeah.
From 14th to 20th.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's but kind still, of expected.
Top 20 net at this time is not a problem.
It all ends up coming out in the wash. It all evens out. It all you are what you are by the end of the year.
Yeah,
you are what you are. That's just how it goes.
If I'm looking at this right, so McNeese is currently 96th in the net. I believe. Let me see, make sure about that, because you know how you and I are on these net rankings. We never get it right. 50-100. Yeah, 51-100. If State wins that game, that'll be a quad two win for State on Saturday. So that's fine. Yep. Quad two win, that's fine. Your game against Memphis. Memphis lost today. Do you remember Caleb Garner? Used to work here.
Yeah, yeah.
I ran into him. He was at the game in.
He's at Arkansas State, right?
He's at Arkansas State. He was at the game in South Haven.
Okay.
And he told me, he's like, Arkansas State, he's like, I think we have a tournament team. They went to Memphis and won today. Memphis currently 48th in the net. So if they stay, well, no, that's a road game. So they just have to be in the top 75. So State has a quad two and a quad one game coming up. So they got some big tournament opportunities. In these next two games. Again, you know, it was a really ugly win, but if I had to pick some positives, Sean Jones got the start. He's in double figures, 11 points. He had 3 rebounds as well. Thought he gave State some energy. Melendez, he just finds a way to make a big shot every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Like when State really needs a bucket, they can go to him. Nwoko with another double-double, 10 points, 10 rebounds. Keyshawn Murphy played poorly in this game, and maybe he was due for a stinker. He'd been playing so well. Only played 11 minutes, got into foul trouble in the first half, never really got into a rhythm. And then in the second half, State just kind of got away from the big guys a little bit. They went small with Matthews out there and Melendez. And, you know, Nwoko only played 16 minutes. Murphy only played 11. So they played a little different kind of matchup with this Prairie View team, and you know the centers weren't a big deal, but 10 points, 10 rebounds in 16 minutes is pretty good for Michael Nwoko, who I think he's got he's got a lot of ceiling that it's just going to be, can they get it all out of him? I don't know.
Yeah, you're starting to see it with him for sure. I think, you know, it's just about the consistency, and
yeah,
that's the big thing with him.
Agreed.
But man, State shot the ball well, but Prairie View shot at 56%.
Yeah. I mean, defensively,
10 of 19 threes. I mean,
State played its best defensive game under Jans on Wednesday. They've sandwiched that between two terrible defensive games, the Butler game and this game.
I think this team is like, it's Jans' most talented team, highest ceiling team, but they're kind of playing up and down a little bit. The good news is they're winning games.
As long as they're winning, yeah.
And that, like,
they're kind of what we wanted football to be.
Yeah.
They're not as good defensively as you want.
But the thing about it is the potential is there on defense.
Yeah.
And they've had some really good defensive performances.
Yeah.
You know, like that they held UNLV under 60.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did what they did against Pitt, which was really impressive. So, I mean, you need to see, you know, somewhere in the middle. I mean, you're not going to see the Pitt performance every single game,
mm-hmm.
but you don't need to see this Prairie View performance.
Yeah. This needs to be a one and done. I mean, I think maybe you were due for a letdown. You played so well against Pitt. Maybe you had to come back to earth a little bit. But, yeah, this for a few minutes there, Robbie, I'll tell you, I was looking around going, oh, here we go again.
These next three games are really big.
Yeah.
You know, you got the two neutral sites, and then you go to Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I forgot about that game with, was it Central Michigan and Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to win. You need to beat McNeese and Central Michigan for sure.
They're 121.
Yeah, you need to beat both of them for sure. No issues there. You need to win those two games.
Is that a quad two for a neutral site? Let me double check that.
And then you, like, we'll see what happens in Memphis.
Quad two? No, that's a quad three because they're 121. So, but even so, I mean, you can't afford that loss. So you gotta
win it.
If you win,
and you need to win about double digits.
Even if you lose to Memphis, it's not a huge deal. It's not a huge deal, but if you get a win there, if you come out of this non-conference with only one loss You I mean, you know you're going to get to the tournament, assuming you don't fall apart in conference play. So, should again, they had to survive what happened today. They did. So, good for them. All right. The rest of the week, we've got obviously the portal happening. We'll have some more basketball talk. Rumblings on Wednesday, as normal.
Finally.
Yeah, we're back to back. We had to miss those last week. So, plenty of good stuff to talk about. Plus, I guess next week we'll do the Robbie Awards. We need to get those done.
Can get those out of the
We
way.
had somebody to send me a tweet, and I'm going to agree. James Anderson, not eligible.
He's got to go.
Yeah, you got to be on staff to
It's a
win.
shame. It's a really shame because he probably deserves it 2 years in a row.
Yeah, but
But
he will not
we just
receive a
can't.
prestigious four-fingered hand turkey this year. So
And
that's the
thanks
way
to
it's going.
John Cohen.
That guy. All right. Guys, have a great Monday. Back with you on Tuesday for Robbie Falk. I'm Brian Hanna. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.